The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 31, text number 11, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on April 6, 2007, in Heidelberg, Germany.
So today we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 31, Narada instructs the Prachetas, text number 11.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Shrutena tapasa vakin vacho bischitta vritti bi bujha vakin nipunaya bale nendriya radasa.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Without devotional service, what is the meaning of severe austerities, the process of hearing, the power of speech, the power of mental speculation, elevated intelligence, strength, and the power of the senses? Purport. From the Upanishads, Mundaka Upanishad 3.2.3, we learn, Nayang Atma Pravachanena labhyo namereya na bahudashrutena yam evaisha vrinute tena labhyas tasyaiva atma vrinute tanung svam. Our relationship with the Supreme Lord is never advanced by simple study of the Vedas. There are many Mayavari sannyasis fully engaged in studying the Vedas, Vedanta Sutra, and Upanishads. But unfortunately, they cannot grasp the real essence of knowledge. In other words, they do not know the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What then is the use of studying all the Vedas if one cannot grasp the essence of the Vedas, Krishna? The Lord confirms in Bhagavad Gita 15.15, Vedaischa sarvairaham eva vedya. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. There are many religious systems wherein penances and austerities are greatly stressed. But at the end, no one understands Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is therefore no point in such penance, tapasya. If one has actually approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he does not need to undergo severe austerities. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is understood through the process of devotional service. In the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, devotional service is explained as Raja Guhyam, the king of all confidential knowledge. There are many good reciters of Vedic literatures, and they recite works such as the Ramayana, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes these professional readers manifest very good scholarship and exhibit word jugglery. Unfortunately, they are never devotees of the Supreme Lord. Consequently, they cannot impress upon the audience the real essence of knowledge, Krishna. There are also many thoughtful writers and creative philosophers. But despite all their learning, if they cannot approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are simply useless mental speculators. There are many sharply intelligent people in this material world, and they discover so many things for sense gratification. They also analytically study all the material elements, but despite their expert knowledge and expert scientific analysis of the whole cosmic manifestation, their endeavors are useless because they cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As far as our senses are concerned, there are many animals, both beasts and birds, who are very expert in exercising their senses more keenly than human beings. For example, vultures or hawks can go very high in the sky, but can see a small body on the ground very clearly. This means that their eyesight is so keen that they can find an eatable corpse from a great distance. Certainly, their eyesight is much keener than human beings. But this does not mean that their existence is more important than that of a human being. Similarly, dogs can smell many things from a far distance. Many fish can understand by the power of sound that an enemy is coming. All these examples are described in Srimad Bhagavatam. If one's senses cannot help him attain the highest perfection of life, realization of the Supreme, they are all useless.
Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam.
So, if something can be utilized in the service of Krishna, then it has value. If that same valuable thing is not utilized for the service of Krishna, then it loses all value. Srila Prabhupada, one time in New York City, in that time the Empire State Building was the tallest building. And he was noting, there are so many zeros in New York City. This is zero, that's zero, Empire State Building, zero. So many zeros. When you add so many zeros together, what do you come up with? It's still zero. Zero plus zero plus zero plus zero. Or you take a row of zeros, you see, and it's zero. But at the front of that row, on the left side of that row of zeros, you put a one, then it becomes a huge number. You see? For example, nine zeros lined up is zero. But when there's a one in front of it, that becomes 1 trillion, you see. That simple adding of one to all those zeros becomes 1 trillion. So in this way, this material world is full of millions and billions and trillions of zeros. If we can simply add a one in front of all the zeros, then it becomes very, very, very valuable thing, you see. So that one, that is Krishna. If we can add Krishna to everything, then this modern day civilization becomes a wonderful blessing, actually, a wonderful boon. All these things can be utilized in the service of Krishna. Just like with their advanced intelligence, the scientists have designed this very sophisticated MP3 recorder, studio quality, actually, MP3 recorder. So by using this for Krishna, then it becomes fully transcendentalized. Anything used in the service of the Lord becomes completely spiritualized. Actually, from the perspective of the pure devotee, there is nothing material that exists. Because everything is the energy of Krishna. So the pure devotee sees everything in relationship with Krishna. And therefore he sees its spiritual utility because it is the energy of Krishna. Therefore it is meant to be offered to Krishna. So the vision of material existence, that is the prison vision of those who are addicted to sense gratification. But for a pure devotee, he sees Krishna within everything. Everything within Krishna and Krishna within everything. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksa daiva hridayeshu valokayanti yang shamashunda ramachintya ganasvarupam govinda madipurusham tamaham bhajami. Because his eyes have been anointed with the salve of love of God, the pure devotee sees Krishna everywhere. Nowadays, people talk very much, we hear talk about ecology. We must recycle everything. They say that if you do not recycle, then it creates more and more and more pollution. You see? But they do not know what is the real recycling. That is the difficulty. Their conception of recycling is something you must return that thing to its natural state. Because by their manufacturing, they take natural and make it unnatural. But you have to keep recycling it back to its natural state. So the environment stays in a natural state. In this way, they want to recycle. Or utilize, reutilize what has been transformed again and again so they don't have to take, they don't have to make more of nature unnatural. Whatever they've already made unnatural, keep it using that again and again. That is also their idea. Of course, in India, they have a very good system. It's like we take the clay cups. In India, we drink from the clay cups. Once drinking, they merge it back into the earth and they just keep recycling in that way. You see? We think we're very advanced with our plastic cups. You see? But it's not very ecologically sound practice. But in India they use the clay. It's very ecologically sound practice. Actually, formerly, in the Vedic days, they used gold. They would eat one time on a gold plate and throw away. That was advanced culture. We think we're advanced with our paper plates. Yes, we're so sophisticated. We have our plastic plates and paper plates. But that was actual Vedic culture, you see. You just eat on gold plate one time and throw away. But the actual spiritual conception of recycling is that since everything is the energy of the Supreme, everything is coming from the Supreme, therefore all of that energy must be offered back to the Supreme. You see? That is the actual proper understanding of recycling. Since everything is coming from God, that energy is all emanating from Krishna. Whatever we see, it is all the energy of Krishna. Therefore, all of that must be offered back to Krishna. And by doing that, then there is a cycle. It comes from Krishna, goes back to Krishna, and this way there's no pollution. But if we take the energy of Krishna, we want to hoard that energy. We want to utilize it for our sense gratification, then it creates pollution. First of all, the pollution begins in the mind, you see. Just as the material creation progresses from subtle to gross, the pollution of this material existence also begins on the subtle platform. The tendency to lord it over is the original pollution of the environment, you see. And that lording over propensity then manifests in so many gross ways. The air becomes polluted, the water becomes polluted, the ether becomes polluted with so many mundane sound vibrations. So in this way, we have to understand what is the actual recycling. That everything must be offered back to the Lord. This perfection of utilizing everything for Krishna will bring us back to our natural original consciousness before it got polluted by this lording and over propensity. The nice thing about this is that because the pure state is actually the natural state and the impure state is the unnatural state, it's actually not that difficult to get back. In other words, Krishna consciousness is not an artificial imposition, that we're trying to condition ourselves to being transcendental. No, we're not. Krishna consciousness is a process of freeing oneself from the conditioning which took one away from one's original transcendental nature. You see? So Krishna consciousness is really not as hard as it appears to be. And sometimes it appears to be difficult because we're in an atmosphere which is very, very unnatural, very unnatural atmosphere. But by coming in contact with persons who are advanced in Krishna consciousness, who are finding it natural to be Krishna conscious, then we can also feel how it is a very natural thing to become Krishna conscious. And we can become fixed and advanced in Krishna consciousness ourselves, and then we can do the greatest good for the people of Germany by showing the ideal example of what it means to be a spiritually enlightened person. Yad yad acharati shrestas tat tat eve tarojana sayad pramanam kurute lokastad anuvartate. Whatever the great man does, the common people follow in his footsteps. Whatever standard he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So the more that we can actually become ideal men and women fixed in Krishna consciousness, this will have a purifying, uplifting, enlightening effect upon the general population. So it is not only for our benefit, but it is beneficial for the entire human society, the more that each one of us can advance in Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada has very nicely presented this idea in his purport in the fifth canto. We every day, after the aarti, we sing this wonderful song to Lord Nrisimhadev. Bahir nasingo hridaye nasingo. We sing these wonderful words. Of course, literally, what is the meaning? Bahir nasingo hridaye nasingo. Hridaye nasingo, that is within, hrida, in the heart. You see, nishringa within. And then bahir nasingo, it means externally, outside. Nishringa within, nishringa without. So Srila Prabhupada has explained what is the, in a very wonderful way, in a very elaborate way, what is the meaning of Bahir Nisinga, Hridaya Nisinga? What is the prayer made by the devotee? In this way he explains, may Lord Nrisimhadev dwell within my heart, killing all of my bad propensities, so that my mind may become perfectly clean and that I may be able to bring peace to the entire world. So the devotee not only prays for his own deliverance, but he prays that he can also be instrumental for delivering others as well. A devotee is not content simply with his own liberation. The devotee wants to see that the whole world should become liberated. Of course, there is one class of devotee who is content only with his own liberation. This is called Bhajananandi. But there's another class of devotees. They are very keen that all living entities throughout the totality of material existence shall become delivered. They are called Goshtiyanandi. Our founder, Srila Prabhupada, founder Acharya, he was Goshtiyanandi of the highest caliber. And he trained us that we should also be Goshtiyanandi. Now some may say, well, isn't that too much? Let me just focus on my own liberation. But as we, this is another one of those insider secrets, that if you adopt this mission of delivering all the fallen souls, then it's much easier for you to be Krishna conscious. As it is said, the more you give Krishna, the more you get Krishna. You see, in this material world, if you want to be a philanthropist, the more you distribute your wealth, the less you have in your bank account. But in this transcendental philanthropy of spreading the Krishna consciousness movement, the more you give Krishna, the more you get Krishna. Therefore, Mataji and I, we are traveling and preaching all over the world, even though it's inconvenient for us in many ways, physically speaking. But we find that the more we give Krishna, the more we get Krishna. So in this way, we are actually being selfish by traveling and preaching all over the world. So this is a very nice program, and actually it is the order of Lord Chaitanya. Yare deka tarikaha Krishna upadesha mara agayu guru hoya tadae desh. Whomever you meet, instruct him in the teachings of Krishna. In this way, on my order, you become guru and deliver the people of this country. In this connection, Srila Prabhupada has pointed out very wonderfully that just as Krishna has given this order, Sarvadharman Paditya Mahame Kang, that you should surrender to me, that same order has taken the form of Jadideka Tarikaha Krishna Upadesh when spoken by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if you want to know what is the method of surrendering to Krishna in the Kali Yuga, then you become guru. You deliver this knowledge to others. You give them the books, you give them the knowledge, the mantra, you give them invitation, you give them prasadam. In this way, you become guru, distribute this knowledge, and that is the actual surrender to Krishna in this age of Kali. So therefore, the devotee dedicates his life, the follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he dedicates his life for the upliftment of the fallen conditioned souls of this planet. And in this selfless life of always wanting to do good for others, he becomes very happy and satisfied. In fact, in this connection, it is sometimes stated that if you're always thinking about how to solve the problems that other people have, then you personally have no problems, you see. I'm only thinking how to solve my own problems. Then I have so many problems, personally. But if my mind is constantly absorbed in how to solve the problems of others, their problems of birth, their problem of death, their problem of old age, their problem of disease, how to solve these problems of other people, then the amazing thing is that then I have no problem, you see. If I'm always thinking how to solve the problems of others, then I have no problem. How is that? As Srila Prabhupada explains, as we mentioned yesterday, deathlessness begins at initiation. As soon as I take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master by initiation, and I accept his orders as my very life and soul, then what happens to me? I actually enter into transcendental existence. I actually enter into immortality at that very moment. And if I remain fixed in following the orders of my spiritual master, then actually I'm situated beyond birth, beyond death, beyond old age, beyond disease. Of course, those things will still happen to the body. But for one who has fully taken shelter of Guru and Krishna, it is just something happening out there in the external energy, that's all. It's not me. Just like someone may go out to your car may be parked here on the street, and someone goes out and they kick the tire of your car. They get angry and they kick your car tire. Does that hurt you? No, it's just something happening out there on the street. So for a devotee, the one who is absorbed in Krishna consciousness fully, the pains and pleasures of the body, they're just something happening out there in the external energy. It's not a big deal. It's something you have to deal with, but it's not something that directly hurts you. You see, it's just something you have to, it's something you have to manage, but it's not really hurting you. You're just dealing with it, that's all. So in this way, a devotee, even though he expertly deals with the with birth, death, old age, and disease is related to his own body. He expertly deals with them. He's not personally affected by them because he knows this is just one chapter in my eternal relationship with the Lord. This chapter is going on now. And this chapter winds down. There'll be another chapter. In this way, I'll simply go on serving the mission of the Lord eternally. So he's not so much bothered and affected by the pangs and pleasures of this material existence. He simply remains fixed in hearing and describing the transcendental glories of the Lord. He simply puts his entire focus into remaining absorbed in devotional service, understanding that severe austerities, the process of hearing, the power of speech, the power of mental speculation, elevated intelligence, strength, and the power of senses have no relevancy unless they are utilized in devotional service. Therefore, he channels all of his energy, all of his consciousness into being fully absorbed in bhakti yoga 24 hours a day with every thought, with every word, with every deed, in all times, all places, and all circumstances. He does, or he or she does not allow himself to be distracted by the tricks of Srimati Mayadevi, who is testing us to see if we're really serious about going back to home, back to Godhead, or if we have some motive in mind, you see, that we're utilizing the society of the devotees to fulfill some material motive, you see. We have to come to the position of Ahaitaki bhakti, you see. No motives. Not that I have some desire for name, fame, profit, adoration, and distinction. So I'm coming to the society of devotees to see if I can fulfill that desire, you see. No. Sometimes people come with such motives, and that Krishna even fulfills their desire to give them a chance to remain in the society of devotees and become purified. But sometimes they don't become purified, even after they get name, fame, and distinction, you see. And then they go away, because actually that's what they were looking for. But name, fame, and distinction don't really satisfy the soul. Bhagavatam says that only this unmotivated, uninterrupted devotional service can actually satisfy the soul. You see, there's nothing else that can really satisfy it. I don't care how much money you know you may be given, how famous you can become, how powerful you can become. You see, I don't care how much of these things you get, you will not be satisfied with these things. You may think you're satisfied temporarily, but I can guarantee you, sooner or later you realize you're not satisfied. So if you really want satisfaction, if you really want to get out of the, you know, the miseries, then you simply have to become very serious about awakening the dormant, enlightened consciousness, which has been there within you for millions of lifetimes, just below the surface, you see. That's the irony of the whole thing. We've been suffering like anything for millions of lifetimes when just below the surface there was Krishna consciousness. Just imagine some pauper, you know, who can't pay his bills, he's got tremendous debts, he's in total anxiety. well, then someone comes and reveals to him, "Didn't you know your father buried a treasure in the backyard for you? So that you would be a rich man. You actually have 10 trillion euros worth of gold buried in your backyard. And you didn't even know about it. You see, it was there the whole time. You see, you actually had 10 trillion euros at your disposal and you didn't know. You see, you were suffering like anything. Oh my God, how do I pay this bill? Now they're going to repossess my car. they're going to turn off the heat in the winter. Oh my goodness, it's so bad. I'm just total anxiety. But you had 10 trillion euros fortune the whole time. And you're just beating your head against the wall in total anxiety, uselessly, foolishly. You see? So actually for millions and billions of lifetimes, we've been suffering like anything. But we had the greatest fortune worth more than 10 trillion euros. It was available. It was available. But somehow or another, we didn't know about it. We just didn't know. We were in ignorance. So the bona fide guru, he comes. He gives that knowledge. He awakens the poor sleeping fellow, you see. But why are you suffering? There's no reason for you to be suffering. You could be tasting unlimited nectar at every second, you see. Krishna Prem. You see, you could be tasting the sweetest, ultimate rasa, Krishna Prema, at every second. All you have to do is, actually, it's very simple. All you really have to do is be who you are. It's all you have to do. Just be who you are. The trouble is, we're trying to be who we are not. I'm trying to be male, I'm trying to be female, I'm trying to be human, I'm trying to be black, white, German, American, so many false designations. Stop trying to be something that you're not. Just be who you actually are. That's really all we have to do. Sometimes foolish people say, oh, this Hare Krishna movement, it's a brainwashed cult. You know, they try to mesmerize you and, you know, make you, hypnotize you and make you go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you see, like a stupid parrot. You see? But no, that is not the Krishna consciousness movement. The Krishna consciousness movement is very simple. If they ask you, what is your philosophy? You can tell them, our philosophy is simply this. Know who you are and be who you are. That's our philosophy. Know who you are and be who you are. That's really all we're saying. You simply have to know who you actually are. What is your true identity beyond that flesh and blood, you see? What is your actual identity? And once you know who you are, now go ahead and be who you are. Stop trying to be that false designation. Be who you actually are, the eternal servant of God, you see? And what is the result when you take that up, when you actually... Actually, we don't say you have to blindly accept this. All we say is make the experiment. Be a scientist. Perform an experiment on yourself. Try being the devotee of Krishna. You know, as Krishna instructs in the Bhagavad Gita, just try it. Try being a devotee of Krishna and see what the result is. And I can guarantee you, if you try it sincerely with an open mind, without any motives, and with a pure heart, you will actually awaken your eternal spiritual identity. You'll be amazed. Wow! I never knew that I could be so happy. I didn't even conceive that such happiness could even exist. How wonderful this is, you see. Thank you, Krishna. Thank you, Prabhupada. Thank you, Gurudev. You see, in this way. If one actually makes the experiment with an open heart, then one will be absolutely amazed at what you can experience. The happiness, the knowledge, the wisdom, the compassion, all the wonderful qualities, 26 qualities of the Vaishnava, they become manifest in the heart of a person who sincerely tries to awaken their dormant enlightened consciousness. So, as I explained last night, the process works if you work the process. Those persons who come to this movement and go away thinking, oh, the process doesn't work, they never worked the process. They never really took the time and trouble to carefully hear and understand exactly how to practice Krishna consciousness. Or if they did, for some reason they didn't want to really do what they were supposed to do. But anybody who actually follows the directions on the label on the bottle, you see, If you actually follow the instructions written on the label, the medicine will work for you, I guarantee you. This is the universal medicine. And if you follow the directions on the label, take the medicine according to the directions of the physician, then you will actually experience the awakening of the divine consciousness within you. You realize your eternal identity as a servant of Krishna. You realize that you actually have an identity in the spiritual world that will be fully revived in due course of time. You'll actually know who you are in the pastimes of the Lord. This will be fully revived. So we invite everyone, therefore, to take this process very, very seriously. Do not be misled by the false propaganda mongers who want to keep you in the clutches of the material nature based on the principle of misery enjoys company. You see, they are suffering in material existence. And everybody wants to keep you down in the same hole that they're stuck in. They don't want somebody to move ahead, you see. So don't let them keep you down in the hole that they are stuck in. Don't listen to, learn to have a deaf ear to those persons who are speaking from within an illusion state of unconsciousness. Learn to have a deaf ear to such persons, because they're not actually your well-wishers ultimately. They're not your well-wishers. They can't be, because they don't even know what is the true beneficial position for the living entity to be in. Even though they may sentimentally wish you well on a material plane, they don't really understand what is your ultimate welfare. So they can't ultimately be a well-wisher on the highest level. So therefore, we have to hear from the bona fide spiritual master. We have to hear from the sadhus, the devotees of the Lord. We have to hear from the scriptures, the authorized scriptures. And in this way, we will get the proper guidance, the proper inspiration. We will get full illumination of how to achieve this fully awakened state, which is summarized in two simple words, Krishna consciousness. So I thank you very much for your kind attention. I can ask now if there's any questions. Actually, Krishna orders that one should ask questions in the Bhagavad Gita. So don't feel that it's improper to ask questions. One should feel it is duty, that is stated. Just try to learn the truth by approaching the bona fide spiritual master. Inquire submissively, directly instructed by Krishna. So it's not wrong or weird or, you know, not, it's totally proper to ask questions, yes. Yes. The proper system of devotional service is elaborately described by Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada in the Nectar Devotion. The very first step is that one should take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. Very first step. Adau Garashrayam. In the beginning, your first duty is to take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. And then under the directions of the bona fide spiritual master, he will engage you in such a way that you will recover from the disease of material existence. Spiritual master will engage you in chanting Japa Mala, Hare Krishna Japa Mala. He will engage you in rising early in the morning, taking baths, chanting the holy names. He will instruct you to give up illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. And then he will engage you according to your own particular nature. You see, this is the duty of the spiritual master. It is not some impersonal corporate system. It is actually a very personal, warm, like a father and daughter or a father and son. The spiritual master will see that each disciple is nicely engaged in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord and serving the Lord. he will engage the disciple in such a way that 24 hours a day that he can be absorbed in Krishna consciousness. No gaps for Maya, you see. So, Prabhupada has given us an ideal situation, the ashram life, where one rises early, has Mangal Arti, worships Tulsi Devi, has Guru Puja, hears and discusses the Bhagavatam, and take prasadam in the association of devotees, engaged in services throughout the day, preaching work, evening program. In this way, Prabhupada has shown an ideal lifestyle, and also for one who is living outside, they should copy the ashram atmosphere or duplicate the ashram atmosphere in their own residence as far as possible by making it a very Krishna-conscious atmosphere there by rising early and singing Gravastakam prayers, you see. Not just only you have Gravastakam when you come to the temple. You must sing Gravastakam at home also if you're not able to come here and sing Gravastakam. There's actually a boon given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that those persons who sing their Gavastakam during the Brahma Muhurta, at the time of death, they will be elevated to Goloka Vrindavan and be engaged directly in the personal service of Lord Krishna. So the spiritual master therefore engages his disciples in chanting their Gavastakam in the morning, whether they live at home or they live in the temple. Every disciple should sing their Gavastakam prayers every morning during the Brahma Muhurta hour. So, in this way, there are certain items that the spiritual master will engage, and then he will engage the disciple in using their talents and their abilities in the service of the Lord. You see, if one is a gifted writer, the spiritual master will have them write poems and articles, transcendental poems and articles. If they're in this way, the spiritual master will engage the disciple according to their propensity. If they're good at making money, then he'll have them start a business and make millions of dollars to build big temples all over the world. In this way, the spiritual master will see the propensity of the disciple and engage them accordingly so that they can be fully absorbed in devotional service 24 hours a day. Any other questions?
Jesus Christ.
It'd be much easier. Why don't you, Prabhu, come here, because I'm really, really hard of hearing. So, yeah.
Okay. I've already done it. It's written that many Christians believe that one can attain salvation only through Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. and he was also raised in that faith.
Yes,
that
yes. Belief. Yes, yes. Well, we agree. You have to accept Jesus. There's no doubt. Okay, go ahead.
It's a little bit longer.
Yeah. And there are great personalities like Martin Luther King mm-hmm. and Mother Teresa.
What is it? Okay.
Martin Luther King and Mother Teresa.
Mother Teresa, they were not believing in that. And mm-hmm. and they were openly stating that. So, and he quotes the Bhagavad Gita verse, 1866, that give up all kinds of religion and just surrender unto me. Mm-hmm. Now the questions.
So the question.
He asked, what is your opinion to that?
Well, I don't present my own opinion. That's the first thing. I give the opinion of Krishna. Mm-hmm. My opinion may be right, it may be wrong. So I don't want to give you my opinion. That would be dangerous. But I give you the opinion of Krishna, because Krishna's opinion is perfect. Now, according to Krishna conscious philosophy, given by Krishna and his realized devotees in the Vedic wisdom, we accept all great acharyas, like Lord Jesus Christ, as our savior. the guru is actually one, although the persons may be different. We say the guru is one because the teaching is actually one. Because Lord Jesus Christ is a pure devotee of God. He is teaching surrendered to the Lord. So we certainly accept Him as our Savior. In fact, the verse that is mentioned here, abandon all varieties of illusion, just surrender to Me. That verse is also in the Bible, in a different way. Krishna is God the Father. Jesus is God the Son. So, from the perspective of God the Father says, surrender to Me. But in the Bible, God the Son, He says, Father, not My will, but Thy will be done. Father, I surrender Myself unto You. So that teaching of the Bible where Christ says, Father, not My will, but Thy will be done, is the same exact teaching that Krishna gives in the Bhagavad Gita. Any person who is actually purely following Lord Jesus will definitely go back to Godhead. But the problem is they're not purely following Him. Actually, the Bible was rewritten at the Council of Nicaea to allow for meat eating. Christ taught against meat eating. What you're reading in the modern Bible is not the original words of Lord Jesus. They have changed it. Yeah. So anyone who's thinks they're a Christian, who's claiming to be a Christian, who's eating meat, they're deluding themselves. Christ was vehemently opposed to the slaughter of the animals. In fact, Prabhupada explains he started his movement as a protest against the animal slaughter in the temples. So even though people may be sincere and pious, unfortunately they are misguided. Christian people, even though they may be well-intentioned and sincere, they are unfortunately misguided by the Christian leaders. The law of karma is very clear. If you eat an animal, you must take birth as an animal. And another point is this. I think you also have McDonald's here in Germany, don't you? They're everywhere. The double arches. I know in America it's very popular. The family will go to church on Sunday morning. They get the little kiddies all dressed up in their Sunday best clothes, and the whole family gets in the car and they go to church. But then where do they go after church? They go to McDonald's. So they like to go to church and they also like to eat their McDonald's. You see? So they are addicted to eating McDonald's. That's a fact. So if that family goes back to Godhead, the time of death, they'll think, well, it's very nice, we're here in the kingdom of God. What is their next question going to be? Where's the McDonald's? Yes. Let's say that Christian family, they go back to God at the time of death. What is their habit when they go to church? They go to church and they go to McDonald's. That's their habit. So when they go back to Godhead, they by following Jesus, then they will say, "Oh, but where's the McDonald's?" And God will say, "Well, I'm sorry, we don't have that chain here. We only have Govindas here." And they will have to come back to Heidelberg to get their McDonald's, you see. So the point is that meat eaters do not go back to Godhead. If you want to be, if one wants to go back to the spiritual world, they have to develop the tastes of the spiritual culture right now. There is a certain culture and lifestyle which goes on in the spiritual world. One has to develop that culture and that taste now in this lifetime.
He's saying that that many Christians were trained very dogmatic, in a dogmatic way, and that.
Deshalb ist es schwer für sie auch neue Dinge anzunehmen. Deshalb habe ich das auch als Beispiel gesagt.
And therefore, it's difficult for them to adopt new things.
Yeah.
New ways.
That's right.
Aber das mit Fleischessen ist für mich in den letzten zwei Jahren schon ist für mich klar geworden.
For him, it became clear that. With the meeting that
it's,
that it's not okay. It became clear over the last 2 years.
The meat eating what?
That it became clear for him over the last 2 years that it's not okay to eat meat.
That's right. Mm. That's right.
Yeah.
So, any other question? Everyone satisfied? All obstacles removed now. The pathway back to home, back to Godhead. Clear sailing. Back to home, back to Godhead. No impediments. Yes?
There's another point. Okay. He's asking about offering food to Krishna.
Yeah.
And because he's doing it at home in the way that he's thanking God for the food.
Oh, no, that's not enough.
He's asking if that's the same.
That's not enough. Yeah. Just like... okay. Here's an example. Just imagine you have a roommate. And he's really a generous roommate. He buys all the groceries. He fills it, keeps the refrigerator full of wonderful groceries for you. And every time you sit down, you eat, you say, let's say his name is, what's the name in a German name? George or?
Hans.
Say, Hans, thank you very much for all this nice food. Every time you sit down, you cook a nice, delicious meal, and you say, "Oh, Hans, thanks a lot." Now, wouldn't that be kind of cruel and impersonal? I mean, you're not even offering him to have some? He filled up your refrigerator with all... He's constantly keeping your refrigerator full of wonderful varieties of foods, is he? And every time you sit down to eat, you never think of offering anything to him. You just eat it yourself and say, "Thanks a lot, Hans." You see why saying thank you is not enough? Yeah. I mean, it's nice to say thank you. But why not you know, if he's giving you everything you're eating, you should offer to him. Mm. Offer it to him. That's much better. How to offer? You take a nice picture, you get a nice picture of Krishna. You get a plate which is only for Krishna. You buy a nice plate which is Krishna's plate, only for him. And whenever you... Do you do your own cooking at home? Or you eat your parents? How do you eat? He has his own apartment?
Yeah, he cooks for himself.
Oh, very good. So then when you make one... each preparation, you put the rice, the vegetables, the salad, the bread, whatever you have. No meat, fish, eggs, onions and garlic allowed. You make a nice plate for Krishna. And you lay it in front of his photograph. And you bow down and you ask him, "My dear Lord Krishna, please accept this offering." And then you can chant the Hare Krishna mantras and to invite Krishna to eat. And give him a few minutes to enjoy his meal, and then you can transfer that to your own plate and then take his prasadam. That offers what is... By doing that, you'll be offering what's on the plate as well as what is ever left in the cooking pots also. It's all offered. Everything becomes offered. Because if you offer it with love, Krishna will eat everything on the plate and then he'll go to look in the pots also to get more. So in this way, you should eat only Krishna prasadam and nothing else. If you simply adopt this program of eating only Krishna prasadam, you will very quickly become a great transcendentalist. By the divine energy of Krishna prasadam. Any other question? So everyone's satisfied now? Yes?
You spoke about obstacles. Also, obstacles. What shall we do if we have a job where we cannot properly follow the process because we have to work too long?
Have to work.
When you have a job, how to properly follow?
We have to work too long? How many hours do you work?
Sometimes 10 hours.
10 hours, okay. Well, that leaves 14 hours free time. Hmm?
It's 11 to 12 hours sometimes.
11 hours.
To drive and including driving also.
All right, including the commute, how many hours total? At the worst case?
12.
12, okay. So, how many hours do you need for sleeping? 8 hours, okay. So that means you have 4 hours of free time every day. So how much time does it take you to chant your rounds?
2.5.
2.5. So that gives you an hour and a half of free time every day to cook and eat. And while you're cooking and eating, you hear some nice lecture tape or bhajan. And while you're driving also, you hear some nice lecture or kirtan. And that way you can be Krishna conscious. I'll give you an insider secret in this connection. If you will very devoutly, religiously utilize every spare second you have to be as Krishna conscious as possible, then Krishna will see that this girl, she's using every spare second she has for me exclusively. You see, if you'll do that, You know what Krishna is going to do? He'll give you more free time. This is like the parent who gives the allowance to the kids, you see. The children that spend their allowance wisely, they increase their allowance. And the children that misspend the allowance, they decrease. So if you will utilize every spare second you have to maximize your Krishna consciousness, Krishna will give you more free time, more free time, more free time. He can even make an arrangement where you have 24 hours a day free to serve Him directly. Of course, even working job, that is also can also become direct devotional service. Do you know how?
Remembering Krishna?
Hmm?
By remembering Krishna?
Well, yes and no. Yes, in one sense, but in the full sense, in the complete sense, even that job can become direct devotional service if every penny of that money is spent in a purely Krishna conscious way. You see, because job means money. You're giving your time in exchange for money. So if you take the fruit of your job, namely money, and every penny is spent in a purely Krishna conscious way, then your job also becomes transcendentalized, you see. And another insider secret in this connection is, just as you would not dare leave the house if your mobile phone was not fully charged because a call may drop off in the middle, an important phone call. So you should not leave for your work until you have fully surcharged, fully charged your spiritual battery by chanting at least 16 good quality rounds every day, you see. You must chant your rounds first business, you see. Fully charge your spiritual battery. And if you can master this art of diving very, very deeply into the nectarian ocean, nama ras, you see. If you can perfect this art, then when you go to the office, that dreaded office, you will not see it the same way anymore. You will see, oh, this is the energy of Krishna. This is the energy of Krishna. Krishna has given me this opportunity to engage this energy in His service, you see. So if you can dive deeply into the holy names in this way, in a very qualitative way, then when you go to your office, you will see, ah, the energy of Krishna, you see. You will see Krishna within everything and everything within Krishna. You will see how Krishna is there within every molecule of that office. And you will connect it with Krishna. Just meditate on Bhaktivinoda Thakur doing his work for the British government, you see. He was purely Krishna conscious, even when he was doing his work. And the advantage of his Krishna consciousness was what? There was no one as expert as Bhaktivinoda Thakur in doing his work. Even his mundane work, the other magistrates could not compete with Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you see. So actually a devotee becomes very expert, even in material things. So the more you become Krishna conscious, the more you become expert in material things, and the more you're expert in material things, the less time you'll have to spend making your living. That's a fact. So the real key, Manaji, is you simply have to increase your Krishna consciousness more and more and more and more and more. Be very, very eager, very keen. Become absolutely passionate to perfect your Krishna consciousness at every minute, at every step. And Krishna will help you. He's been waiting for millions of lifetimes for you to return to Him. You are His beloved child. You have a special relationship with Krishna in the spiritual world. You have forgotten it. You have a rasa with Krishna in His leela. And somehow or other you dropped out of the party, you see. So Krishna is wanting you back. He's missing you like anything, you see. You simply have to make that endeavor and Krishna will make all arrangements for you. Krishna will give you full facility. Do you think you're dependent on that company for your livelihood? Do you think you depend on them for your livelihood? No way. Your livelihood is given by Krishna. Eko bahunam yovadadati kamam. He is giving your livelihood. You simply have to show him. What is that shloka? Ananyaschintiyantamang yejana paryapasate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogachemam vahamyaham. For those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating in my transcendental form, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. You see. Krishna can give you everything. Krishna is prepared to personally give himself to you, completely, totally, wholly. You simply have to surrender yourself to him fully. That's it. So you have to beg Krishna to empower you to fully surrender to him. You have to cry for the mercy. From the innermost core of your heart, you must cry for the mercy that you can fully surrender yourself to him. And he will help you to do that. He's just waiting for you to cry like that to him. And he'll reciprocate with you beyond, so wonderfully, it would be beyond your wildest dreams that Krishna consciousness could ever be so wonderful as this. So, what do you think? Is this Krishna consciousness wonderful? Yes. There's nothing so wonderful as Krishna consciousness. Actually, it is the only wonderful thing. Everything else is terrible, except for Krishna consciousness. Everything else stinks. It's rotten. So in this way, we have to remember. All right. So we'll stop here. We thank you very much for your kind attention. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.